Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to understand from this message there is something you can do to get involved in world evangelism or the idea of giving to missions. We at our church here believe that we have a responsibility that has been placed upon us as a church to go into the world and to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible teaches us in Acts chapter 1 that they were to start in Jerusalem, then go into the surrounding areas of Judea and Samaria, and then ultimately under the uttermost part of the world. And so we are responsible to begin here in Denver, PA, and then extend into our surrounding communities and ultimately into the uttermost parts of the world. And we thank the Lord that we have been involved in all of those stages of evangelism in our community. In order to give to missions, there are two primary ways for us to consider. You might call it grace-giving missions, or you might call it faith promise. I want to begin the message by explaining what is the difference between the both of them, and then go through this passage and show you the things that you should be considering in order giving to missions. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Your Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so thankful for this opportunity that we have to be together. And now, Father, we quiet our hearts that we might consider your word. Help us to be able to cast out all distracting things and help us to be able to focus primarily just on what your Spirit would teach us from your holy word. Guide in the time that we have together, and may you be pleased with our responses to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say the first concern of the church is getting the gospel into our community. And again, dear friend, this message has primarily been put together for the benefit of the church, benefit for those who are already a child of God. But I want you to know the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has come to this earth and has laid down his life on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. But the Bible also teaches that no man seeks God on his own. And so the Lord begins to draw us. He uses his Holy Spirit. And he uses the Holy Spirit uses his word. So as the word of God is preached, it will draw you to the God of this word. I want to encourage you to carefully consider, if you've never had that time where you've made a personal decision to trust in Christ alone to get to heaven, I want you to know he is the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so I want you to understand that while the gospel isn't the premier part of this message, it is the premier part of life. And all of us have come short of the glory of God without salvation. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. And you can enter into a personal relationship with God by simply trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you would like to know more, we would love to share more with you about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The question is, how does a church like ours get involved in trying to reach this entire world with the gospel? Can we do it on our own, and how can we possibly do it to begin with? We have been taught to carefully try to apply the basic principles of Scripture to help us in order to spread the gospel around the world. There are two programs, I guess you would call them out there, but they are biblically based. The idea of grace giving or the idea of faith promise. Let me explain the difference between the two and tell you the direction which I would encourage you to go, but both directions are acceptable. One would be faith promise giving. The idea is this, that you would pray that the Lord would have you give a certain amount to missions in the upcoming year. You have no idea where these finances are coming from. You have no idea how the Lord is going to provide. The benefit, I believe, of this idea is you really stay closely connected to the Lord. You continually pray about it. You're continually looking for ways that God is going to provide money so that you can channel that all directly toward missions. And so faith promise as the idea, by faith, I promise to give a certain amount of money to missions in the upcoming year. The difficulty with that approach is, because it's all by faith, and you don't know how much money that God's going to provide, you don't know how much money to put on a slip of paper so that we can budget for our missions. I don't know, I hope you budget personally, but if you don't, you have this understanding, if we don't know how much is coming in, how much do we know can go out. And so again, it's very difficult by faith promise alone to determine what you're going to give. But maybe this is the beginning for you and not a bad place to start. You say, Lord, I'm going to pray about it in this upcoming year, and I'm going to ask you to give me money that I can give through the church to missionaries to take the gospel into the uttermost part of the world. And so you just ask the Lord, maybe you start with a lower amount, maybe put a few dollars a week that you're going to give, or whatever you believe that the Lord may provide in this upcoming year. The other is called grace giving. It's the understanding that God is going to again give through you. But in grace giving, you kind of take a look at all the finances that are coming in, and you purposely maybe crowd some things so that you can give some more money to missions, and again, so that the name of Christ is preached throughout the entire world. You're not going in with a blank slate, so to speak, and just hoping God would provide these unknowing funds. It's the idea, okay, I know this much is coming in. I know we need this much to pay our bills. Where can we sacrifice in other areas, and where is there a little bit of an abundance that we can give in order to send missionaries to preach the gospel? And so that is the way I would encourage. I would encourage you to look at your budget. I would encourage you to look at personally what is coming in and praying about what the Lord would allow you to give. Again, if we are not spreading the gospel, then we ought to be shutting our doors. The primary concern is that we would spread the gospel around the world and build up Christians in His holy name. So let's look at a couple of things here this morning regarding giving to missions. First of all, it's not about whether you can or can't. It's about God can. When it comes down to this, it's not, I don't know if I can do this, Pastor, or I really think I can do it. It's not reliant on you. It's reliant on the Lord. The idea of grace giving is this, that God is going to help you to give so that we can reach this world with the gospel. And to see that right from the scriptures, let's begin 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the opening verses. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or understand the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." See, the grace of God is help that the Lord would give. He says, I want you to understand how the Lord is help in giving to needy Christians of the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. He says, actually, they were poor. Actually, they were struggling, but God, by His grace, gave them ability to give to help Christians who were in great need. Again, this isn't reliant. Our missions program can't be reliant upon what we can do. Our missions program needs to be relying on what the Lord can do. And we need to be asking the Lord for help. We need to be asking the Lord to give through us for the cause of missions. Again, look at verse number 4, or verse number 3 says, "To their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." So again, notice their giving actually went beyond what they were able to do themselves. So when we come down to it, we look at it this way. It's not whether or not you can or can't. It's the idea the Lord can. And so as we began to approach missions, and as I began to pray about it, starting way back in the late 80s, when the Lord began to lay this upon my heart, I recognized that, you know what, God can actually give through me. And God would give me money that I could then give for the furtherance of the gospel. And so this wasn't about what can I do, this is about what can God do through me, that I could actually become a vital part of missions. You see, dear friend, every one of us can be involved in this to one degree or another. And even young people can be involved in this where they set back finances. Now, for some, you say, well, Pastor, I'm on a limited budget or I'm on a fixed income. Well, dear friend, we're actually all on a fixed income. The amount that comes in is what we have to work with. But I understand what you're saying. Yours is very limited because of your stage and place in life. But I want you to know, we can ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me to give more? Again, this isn't about what we are doing. It's about what the Lord can do. Listen to what Paul writes to the church of Philippi. Now, the church of Philippi, again, was a rather poor church. In fact, when it comes to missions, it's not about being wealthy. It's about being willing. Okay? When it comes to missions, it's not about being wealthy. It's about being willing. In fact, I think more is given through the willing than the wealthy. And so it's saying, okay, I might not be able to give a lot, but I'll ask the Lord and see what He'd be willing to give through me. The church of Philippi wasn't very wealthy, but they were very willing. And God worked in their lives, and Paul writes back in thanking them. He says, you're actually laying up fruit to your account through giving to me to spread the gospel. So here's the understanding. We looked at this several weeks ago. We should be treasuring up treasures in heaven. Well, we can do that, and the Lord will help us to do that. And the church of Philippi was doing that by giving for the spread of the gospel. And Paul says this, you're laying up fruit in heaven because of this. And what does he go on to say in chapter 4 and verse number 19? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. You know, they actually gave to the extent to where they were in need. Now, according to this passage, you don't have to do that. This is a free will offering. But they had actually given to the place where, not that, oh boy, we can afford this, let's just give that. They actually, I don't know that we can afford that. But Paul says, you know what? You gave to this extent where my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. So what was God saying? He was saying, you know what? I'll give through you. So grace giving is this. You're praying and asking the Lord, Lord, would you help me to give to missions? Lord, if you would help me, if you'd give me a little more, if you'd help me learn where I can cut my budget, Lord, if you would help me in being able to spend less in this area because of the expenses we've had, Lord, if you would help me, I'll give more. I want to see the gospel go around. So if you help me, God, and you show me, you give me the wisdom, I'll give more for the cause of missions. A couple times in the past I've used as an illustration, I've had the audience here to raise up if they have a dollar, and I went around and collected the dollars that you raised up, and I called for an offering. And I gave that money willingly. In fact, I enjoyed giving your money away. Because it wasn't mine, right? It wasn't mine, and so I could joyfully put that in the offering plate, and we had a great collection. But you know what? Today I came loaded. Okay? Now, these are small denominations because we're independent Baptists. We are a small denomination. But anyway, I thought if I were to take up a missions offering from this front row right now, right here, right now, I probably wouldn't give much or get much, would I? Yeah, it doesn't look like you all have much to give, do you? You're on a fixed income. Dad doesn't give you very much, does he? And so I thought, you know what, I could help them. I'll give them some money here this morning that if the offering, I don't know if I can trust you with two. I can trust some of these. I'm going to give you some money so that if the offering plate comes by for missions, you can give. Is that okay? And if you don't give, then you stole. Is that correct? Okay, you're seeming to get the principle. I'll give you a little bit more. And then we've got these boys. Boys can't keep money in their pockets. They're always getting rid of it. And then we've got seniors. Well, you're not quite there, though. You're looking like it. You know, we've got seniors that are on fixed income. Do you see them? We've even got people coming up from Florida trying to get money. And you know what? We've got people that are really strong. Oh, you got children. A child. You have two children, actually. Let me give you a little bit extra, okay? We've got a newly married. Don't they need money? And missionaries. Oh, boy, do missionaries not need money, okay? You know what? We need an offering now, don't we? I think we only need one usher. Can we have an usher? Look at this. In a Baptist church, the ushers actually come to their seats with an offering plate, hoping for another offering. So any of you that aren't in a Baptist church, you ought to be coming to a Baptist church. Now, I want you to try to raise some money for missions this morning, Brother David, and see if they'll give it to you. See, I helped them, so they should be able to give this morning. Did they give the full amount, Brother David? Are you watching? We teach our ushers not to look down the aisles while they're giving, but I think they are here this morning. Boy, they're so willing. Look at that. They're giving with a smile. They were helped. You're going to keep going. Tell you what, go back to that girl named Sylvia. I actually didn't have enough money. She works at the bank, and I asked her to bring extra home. You missed something back there, Brother David. Somebody's waving money. He's not a very good usher. He's just in training. So here's the principle. I helped, and they were able to give. Do you know what? God's willing to help you so that you'd be able to give. God is willing on a regular basis. We're ambassadors for Christ. Do you know what? To be honest, we think too much of this world and gathering things to us in this world. And we ought to think a lot more about the life to come. And one small way of doing that is, again, say, Lord, will you help me? This isn't about what I can do. Lord, this is about what you can do. You know what? God is not only willing to give to you, but God also wants to give through you. Not everything does God give to you, does He want, not everything that God gives to you, does He want you to keep. Some things God gives to you so that you can help others. Would that be correct? And so that's true even in our finances. Not every dollar that God gives to you in any given week does God want you to keep all of it. God actually wants you to take some of that and give it back to Him. God also wants you to take a portion of that and maybe be a blessing to someone around you in need. God also would hope that in that you would say, boy, I want to see the gospel furthered, and give money just specifically for the gospel being furthered. You say, wait a second, Pastor. What's the difference between then the church offering and this that you're talking about, missions? Well, the church offering will help in getting the gospel, especially in our community. But it also helps in keeping this community building functioning and keeping this property upkept and so forth. So it goes to a lot more than just getting the gospel out. So this is specifically asking the Lord, Lord, would you help me in getting finances together so that I can give for the furtherance of the gospel alone? When the sheet or the envelopes are seen in your pew and so forth, there's a line there specifically for missions giving. And we earmark some of that. That's not our tithe. That's not what we normally give to the Lord. But that's money in abundance to that we give specifically for the Lord to use in getting the gospel around the world. So first of all, it's not about what you can or can't do. It's about what He can do. Secondly, missions giving, it's not about what you have to. It's about what you ought to do. Let's look here in beginning of verse number 7. I can't go throughout the entire passage because of the length of time, but let's pick it up in verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, and he talks about faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, love, see that ye abound in this grace also, this giving with God's help also. So he says, you're abounding in so many areas in the church, and that might be true of you in your Christian life. Maybe you're abounding in grace, or maybe you're abounding in knowledge, or maybe you're abounding in the ability to utter God's word, or diligence in studying the word. But he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Again, it's not what you have to do, it's what you ought to do, according to the Apostle Paul. Look at verse number 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Dear friend, I want you to know very clearly, we are not commanding or saying you must give to missions in order to be obedient. But Paul says, you know what? You don't have to. But it sure would show how much you love. Now, how much you love who? Well, I think it's number one, the Lord. Don't we give first to the Lord? Number two, how much do we love the lost? Are you willing to give what is hard-earned? Or the few dollars you have coming in, are you willing to give some of it to reach someone you'll never meet this side of glory? Someone who may not be very loving. Someone who may not be very caring. See, it's about this. Paul says you're proving there's some love in you. You're proving the sincerity, the genuineness of it. Christ is a perfect example. Look at verse number 9. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be made rich. Think about what all the Lord had before he left the glories of heaven to come to this earth. And he did it for us. He didn't do it to get a great name for himself. He didn't do it so people would pat him on the back. He gave up all the riches and took on the poorness of this world so that we might be made rich. Well, I'm just merely encouraging you, and again, this is something not something you have to do, but I think it's something you ought to do. You ought to, because by giving a little bit, it can go a long way in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Pastor Terry here leads up a ministry called Bible Assembly, and he has several of our men working to kind of lead each time that we gather together. But I see him as over leading that. But in that ministry, we have been taught with every John and Romans we give out, it is read by usually a total of 12 people. You believe that? I don't think that would happen in the United States of America, but in many of these foreign countries, when they give out a John and Romans, they say on the average, it's read by 12 different people. So again, that one John and Romans. What's that cost, Pastor Terry? Less than 20 cents, isn't it? Maybe around 20 cents, including the cover? Can you imagine 12 souls can be impacted for 20 cents? So again, part of our missions giving not only tries to get the missionaries around the world, we want to get God's word around the world. And so we look at this, and Paul's really driving to this point. He's saying, all right, therefore, you ought to be diligent in this also. You ought to abound in this grace also. He said, I don't speak by commandment, but to prove the sincerity of your love. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to become poor so that we could be made rich. He also says in verse number 10 that this is expedient for you. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. And he uses a word that's kind of unique. He says, this adds up for you. It's actually a financial term. Look at verse number 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, again, there needs to be a willingness here. So he says, perform the doing of it. Look at verse number 12. For if there be first a willing mind. So this isn't about, oh, I have to do this. No, but I ought to do this. In fact, I ought to look forward to doing this so that people can hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed in their language. I want us to consider one more thing this morning. It's not only what you can or can't do, it's about what the Lord can do. Secondly, then I looked at the idea, it's not about that I have to, but I ought to. And then thirdly, this isn't about salvation. It's about worshiping and glorifying God. Have you ever met someone who is doing good things like this in order to get them to heaven? That they'll maybe give a gift like this and they're hoping that will earn them some points to getting to heaven. Well, we understand from a biblical standpoint, it doesn't matter how much you give, You'll never give enough in order for God to give you salvation. Salvation's a free gift, according to the Word of God. And if you're giving money to get it, then it's not a free gift. And so this isn't about salvation, but this is about worshiping and glorifying God. In fact, just look at verse number 19, and I'm just going to bring out a point for this point. Partway through the verse, it says, this grace, and it's talking about, again, that those free will offerings to help others, this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. He says, you know what? We're doing this so that God gets the glory. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So this isn't about, how do I get to heaven? Can I get to heaven this way? No, this is about worshiping and glorifying God. This is about making sure that God's name is proclaimed. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we beseech you in God's stead, be reconciled to God. And so this is about making sure that God is glorified. And so as He gives finances, I'm looking at this and saying, you know, I want to glorify God. I'm going to give some of this so that His name is proclaimed in some of those 1040 windows where there's hardly a missionary and hardly a copy of God's Word in all these nations. You know, there's thousands of nations that don't have, or languages that don't have, a single page of the Word of God in their language. And here we are as Christians spending more on our animals. Sorry, I don't have any animals, so this doesn't seem fair, does it? But we spend more on our animals than we do on the furtherance of the gospel. I was talking to a friend the other night. His cat got sick. Took it to the hospital. Remember this, Brian? Took it to the hospital. $2,000 for an overnight stay. You got to love your cat. I'm not against what he did. But you know, sometimes we don't even give $2,000 a year to reaching the world with the gospel. Isn't that a different standard? So again, when we look at this, the bottom line is, I got to ask, is God glorified with how I'm using the money He's allowing me to have? Because I'm not getting rich of my own power, according to the Scripture. He giveth us the power to make wealth. And God helps us. So I want to make sure that He is glorified, and whenever I give, that's an act of worship. I am saying to God, I am worshiping You by giving. So let's draw this all together. I think every one of us can get involved in missions. Not every one of us can go to a foreign field and give the entirety of our lives, but some of you can go on a missions trip, like Karen and Sylvia will soon be going on to Lithuania, or like Becky goes on with the medical missions outreach. We have a missions trip really coming up this week where a couple of our men are going to help a pastor and his family to have a new roof on their house, a great need that there is there. But there are constantly opportunities like this, but there is a way that you can help with the furtherance of the gospel without going anywhere. It's merely by asking the Lord to help you to give. Again, it's not about what you can or can't do. It's what can the Lord do through you? Again, let's pray and begin to ask, Lord, what could You do? How could You help me reach this world with the gospel? The Bible says that the Lord will reward according to everyone's labor. The Lord can reward you even though you don't go anywhere. He understands some of it is sacrificial. He understands, kind of as I was handing out money in a joking fashion and tried to make light of it. But there are people who need help and say, Lord, help me. I'd like to give. I don't know how I can give. Do you realize how that can draw you into a closer personal relationship with God? Isn't that what this is all about? We aren't a religion, are we? Are we? We're a relationship. If it could force us to be praying and asking the Lord to give to us so that we can give to others. Asking the Lord to show us how we can cut back in areas so that we can give, so the preaching of the gospel goes forth. That builds a relationship with God. And that glorifies the Lord. So So may we earnestly pray about missions and what we can do to further the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Dear Father, you so loved this world that you gave your only Son. And he so loved this world that he laid down his life. And I'm just asking you to work in our hearts that we would love this world enough that we'd be willing to make some sacrifices to give so that your name can be proclaimed around the world. Father, I think it begins with us loving you more first. Because how can we ever love this world if we can't first love you? Father, work in my heart that I would love you enough that I would want your name proclaimed. And Father, help me to learn about loving this world through loving you, that I would ultimately begin to love a world that I may never meet, but be willing to sacrifice for them. Lord, your Son was willing to be made poor so that we could be made rich. And I think we understand this is in a very spiritual sense, a physical for a spiritual exchange. And so you're asking us to make a physical sacrifice for a spiritual reward. Father, it's unbelievable that I could be part of reaching people with the gospel. Not only here, but unto the uttermost parts of the world. And so, Father, I don't want people to be coerced. I don't want people to be forced. But at the same time, I heard what Paul said. Paul said, "Here ends my advice. I'd encourage you to perform the doing of it." So he was really encouraging. And may people take from what I've said this morning, not a command. You have to do this to be a good Christian. You have to do this to be a member. No. But they'd see it as an encouragement. And what an opportunity it is. So Lord, would you work in our hearts? Would there be a willingness to sacrifice for you, and a willingness to sacrifice for others? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to first of all, I began the message by talking about salvation, and I said I wasn't going to preach on that today, but I did mention it at the beginning, and I want to know if there's anyone here that would say, "Keith, as you preached, as you spoke, I'm not a Christian like you're talking about, but I'd like to know more about this salvation, this good news, this gospel, and taking it around the world. Would you pray for me just with an upraised hand?" Last week we had someone raise their hand and wanted to know more about salvation. Is there anybody this week that would say, "Keith, would you pray for me? I don't know this Jesus Christ that you're talking about. I don't have a personal relationship with him." Okay. What about as Christians? I primarily, as I said, preach to Christians. Who would say, "Keith, I'm a Christian, but God has dealt with my heart. I really would like to do more for missions. And would you pray for me as I prayerfully make this decision? I'll make the right decision, and that the Lord would lead me in the way that he would want me to go." And just with an upraised hand, maybe you haven't been involved in this before, or not much. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Probably at least been 15, 20 hands raised at this point, and you may put them down. Some are younger. Some are older, and we praise the Lord for them all. Dear Father, would you work in these hearts and all of us, again, that we would make the sacrifices that are willingly made for the furtherance of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.